Imagina buscar a amar. The sexual amarication found in the Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, and I read those again. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. O Lord, sanctify in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear Christians, the text for this morning's brief meditation is a sentence which appears in the context of the epistle's third division. This part of St. Paul's letter consists of a series of apostolic exhortations pertaining to the unity of the church, the Christian ethics, family life in the narrow and broad sense of the word, and the personal and communal warfare against alien and evil powers. Reading this part of the epistle, one may experience joy, one may receive a vision, but one may also suffer confusion. One may be very delighted, but may also suffer depression. The sentence which serves as our text is one which may cause a chronic headache to anyone who tries to interpret it within 6 minutes. The text is a call to change clothes. Put off your old nature. Put on the new nature. Abandon your personal clothes and dress yourself with someone else's clothes. Yes. Because our garment is useless. Our garment is harmful and worthless. It is like a garment marked by a leprous disease, which had to be washed, examined, and if there was a spot of disease left, it had to be burned, according to Leviticus 13. And Paul says that our personal garment, our old nature, is full of deadly stuff. He names them all in this scripture prophecy. The old nature of ours, which determines our manner of life, is corrupt through deceitful lust. Therefore, put it off. But wait a minute. And Paul. And he would be somewhere in his calling up here and ask him a few questions. And the first question I would ask, how do we deal with this impossible imperative? Do you have a lack of memory or something? Have you forgotten what you wrote in Romans 7? Where you point out who we are and what we are? Don't you know that we love these old clothes of ours, and that with great religious fervor we try to make them look respectable? After all, these are our clothes. It is our old nature you are talking about. You know about his nasty stuff, but we try hard to remove this. We try very hard. We do our best. We have a whole host of programs to teach us how to do our best. You don't know our treasure. Treasure, which is particularly lesson is, if you will, God has gone to help them first. We like imperative. We like to stand up for Jesus and show him the results of our efforts. Galatians and Arminians, and other well-known salesmen of religious washing powder are dear friends of ours. We like to follow them in their footsteps, even if we, because of our love for Peter, don't mention them as belonging to our circle of friends. But when Paul is a radical, he seems to be merciless. He offers his impossible imperative. And I ask the second time, why? Because of his faith in the divine indicative of death. And I see the answer. Because of his faith in the divine indicative of death. As Lutherans, we should be ashamed of our timidity with regard to the divine indicative of grace, so clearly and so objectively exposed in the work of baptism, in the work of proclamation, and in the work of the Eucharist. The imperative to that precedes the expectation to them, the new or the other nature, the nature of the second Adam, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so, the possibility of these two imperatives can only be upheld in the face of the human impossibility of the divine indicative, as written in Romans 6. Our old self won't specify this fact. And it is a result of it that the sinful body, the old flesh, the old nature, has been destroyed. We are no longer enslaved to sin. The old garment does no longer fit. Thinking of it, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Don't you know that in every baptismal service, we are witnessing a funeral? Don't you know that you have been born and that you have died and that you have been buried but that you have been raised? Because don't you know the apostle asked that in your baptism you have been made partaker of Christ for resurrection? So we too might walk in a new way of life, in a new God, reflecting the righteousness and holiness of the giver of these clothes, namely Christ himself. And if you want to sing the Tobian like garment with all your heart, you better stop going to the various religious laundromats, trying to clean your old clothes. We turn daily to your baptism and realize that it was then and there that you receive your new garment. And Paul is charitable, a means of reminding us of the divine indicative of grace. He is not leading us on the path of pursuing works of law, but of believing the gospel of our baptism. All of time. That is the enormous difference between all of the things in evangelical Christians and all that is in Hexcott of Armenian and Pelagianism. All Christians, the work of baptism, the work of proclamation, and the work of the Eucharist. Nothing less and nothing more. And so the comfort of the divine indicative in Christ Jesus. This enables us to contemplate on the seriousness of the apostolic imperative. After all, this belongs to being renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.